Hey, what's going on? It's Mario, Final Approach, the Final Approach podcast, another episode. And of course, thanks to our partners who team up with us, like Leupold and Roger Sporting Goods and Federal Ammunition, as well as Weatherby. And well, this year we got a new one. We got Dogtra on board to do some dog stuff. And of course, we always shout out to our people up in Canada because we're going to talk to Brad Fenson, and he's up there. And we're going to talk about, we might talk about Saskatchewan Goose Company. We might talk about SAS Tourism. We might talk about Harvest Your Own. We might talk about whatever. We might talk about, hey, you can find some items on Canadian Tire this year from Final Approach because we stock some stuff. And our website, fabrand.ca. So lots going on. How you doing?
Doing great, thanks. Hunting season's in full swing, and there's not enough days in a week to fit it all in.
I do have my Tim Hortons, so don't even, you already know, I'm already prepping
I
for the
was going to
season.
say, you almost need a separate list of Canadian sponsors, and you could have Tim Hortons on there
Oh,
somewhere.
buddy, would I listen? We would be in serious trouble if we had Tim Hortons. Are you kidding me? And it was like, today's donut is this. And we would just be pounding them. Yeah, I would go for that for sure. There is no doubt. Like, I do not have any kind of, we don't have any kind of coffee sponsor because I leave that open because I'm hoping in one day they just go, hey, we see you mention us all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I have an IV. I have a Timmy's IV in my arm all the time.
Yeah, that's required in the blind early mornings.
For sure, for sure. Hey, so let's just talk general. You already have a big animal down. You've already been bird hunting. Like, you guys are already going. What's been ha like? Well, give me an account. You got a big bull down. You did get a bull elk
Yeah,
that was
it
a
was
monster.
out elk hunting, and I put in 10 full days, 7 of those in the archery season, and we were on elk every single day. I was hunting
Really?
with Northern Backcountry Outfitters in Alberta, and lots of times they were within 20 yards. I could see the trees moving as they're raking their antlers and
Oh
screaming,
my
but
God.
it was just so thick, the alders and willows, that you couldn't see them to get a shot with the bow. And then rifle season opened. And day 8, I switched over and saw some elk. Never got a chance to shoot. Saw a bull at 969 yards, which,
Oh my God. I know
even
you
with
can make
modern
that shot.
equipment, I'd prefer to get close.
For sure. I know you can make that shot. I've seen some long ones, but yeah. You want to get them up close and personal, for sure.
And then hit the jackpot. We tried a new spot, got a bull bugling in the morning. We're walking into the wind, and the wind switched 180 degrees. And while we're standing there trying to make a decision what to do, three bulls light up behind us. So now we're in the middle with four bulls, and we hardly even had to call. We got back as quick as we could as the wind switched. We went
Right.
back, and we had two bulls coming. Like, you could hear them screaming and
Oh my
breaking
God.
timber. And one of them was growling and grunting. And I said to Jason, the guy I was hunting with, "Man, that sounds like a moose." But it was a big elk, and he was worked up, and he came storming out of the willows like big as life, and right
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, like
Boom.
you said, like screaming and grunting and pissing on himself and like
Oh.
just like I'm telling you, it's like if nobody's seen that happen, it's pretty wild for sure.
It's
And
pretty addicting.
So the cool thing about being out in the woods and doing stuff like that and being on a hunt like that and being in some thick country, what else did you guys see? Because
Oh, we
there's
saw a ton of
critters
stuff.
everywhere.
Yeah, we saw a fair number of moose and some nice bulls.
Oh, nice.
Rough gross numbers were very high. We were seeing 50 to 70 a day.
Oh
So
my
I
God.
actually took some judo points with my 10-point crossbow, and
Oh, I saw
several
some
days
pictures.
I shot a limit of five roughies. So I, the magic chickens on the
Oh, they're
table,
so good.
they are. And lots of snowshoe hares. Like, the one evening alone, I saw 47. I sort of kept track of different things.
Get out.
And of course, with the snowshoe hares, we saw three lynx.
Oh,
Lynx numbers come up with the hare numbers,
error
and
numbers.
they're not, they're a very inquisitive creature. You could drive right up beside them, like 10 feet away, and they would sit in the grass and just look at you. They're not scared of people at all.
No,
So,
I've read that. I've never seen one, but it's like they really don't care. And I mean, it's like a I mean, it's like a bobcat on steroids. Like you always go, like me, that's my animal that I've never taken, right? The bobcat. But it's like everybody
Right.
says, like, oh, don't worry about the wind, because on the coyotes, the coyotes are playing the wind, everything's playing the wind. Bobcats, they think they're tougher than anything, so they don't give a crap about the wind and who you are. They just roll in. So I gotta assume like a lynx is just like a steroid version of a bobcat, right? Like they don't care.
It's a big bobcat with big feet and tufted ears, and yeah, they're interesting to come across because they're so curious about you. They're as curious about you as you are about them. So you sort of sit there and eye each other up, and you can see their eyes glowing, and it's pretty cool.
Oh
So
my
yeah,
God.
and lots of black bears. The black bears, it's been
Really?
such a warm year. Like the grass and the clover and everything is very green.
Right.
That's why all the grouse and the rabbits and the bears are
Everything's
all over
flourishing. Right.
trees, and they're feeding. So lots of bears. Like, and we saw some whoppers, some that I actually would have tried to shoot, but of course, by the time you see them, they don't miss too much either, and I never got an
Yeah.
opportunity.
Yeah. Holy crap. So spring bear might be, obviously that's looking down the road, but if they're out and about in there, that thick spring bear probably should be a plus as well going into next
Yeah,
year.
I look at it in the fall, every day that they can stay out and continue to feed on good quality feed and they're not sleeping, they're just in
Right.
that much better shape. Hibernation is shorter, they come out in better shape. And it's a strange year. Like
Just
the best way to put it is the weather has been manic this year. You know,
right.
we had a very dry spring. A lot of farmers didn't even plant until June because they were waiting to see if we got some moisture.
Oh my God.
Even the crops that were planted late are coming off now. So, things are on track that way, but we haven't had a frost.
Wow.
We haven't had rain since sometime in early August.
Holy crap.
So
So
all
you guys are super dry.
the small wetlands, like in Alberta and parts of Saskatchewan, are dry. But that hasn't hampered most of the waterfowl. We're seeing lots of like the specks moved in. They were here. I saw the first one August 15th. So they're always one of our very first migrants. And I think my theory on it is that the adults that have a predated nest,
Right.
they molt and then they get out of Dodge. They go to
Right.
where
Because
the
what are
nest
they going to do? Right. There's nothing to, they're empty nesters. Like, I hate to say that, but they're empty nesters, right? So they go, what are we doing here? Like, let's leave, right?
Yeah, so it's always interesting. The specs come in before the season even opens, and it
Yeah.
sort of sets the tone. It gets you geared up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, they're
Yeah.
here. Let's go through the gear and get the trailer set up. Let's
Oh,
put
yeah.
grass on the blinds, get everything ready. It's your little alarm clock. The specs are the hunting season alarm clock.
For sure, for sure. So everything, obviously everything we read down here. I mean, I talked to the guys at Delta Waterfowl. I had a podcast with Paul Waite, and we were going over numbers, and he was saying the same thing. Numbers are up on certain things. The averages. He says, well, the averages are below, but you got to remember, like, the averages have been going since like the 20s or whatever it was, or the 40, like,
Right.
go so far back that you go, yeah, you're gonna have like in the heyday of all those numbers, you're gonna have like super high numbers. How are we gonna compare to that? So, but the cool thing that he said was, with technology and what's going on with counts, they're getting more precise because, and this switched over a while ago. I didn't know all this, but he went into it, and I know you'll appreciate it, or you already know it, but they've gone to drones and thermal to find all the nests, because before, they're dragging chains or doing whatever, or they spot a couple nests and they're like, oh, there's two nests. And now it's like the drone's flying over and it's like, there's 30 nests. There's not
Right.
two. And it's like, then they're counting stuff. Then they go back and count again and see, has the nest been robbed, or what's going on, or is there predators? And he threw a stat at me that I've said to almost everybody, because I almost can't believe it, because us as hunters, we've been told, like, and I'm not saying don't go wild, and I've said the same thing every time, but he said 91% of depredation, duck mortality, is from like April, May, till like July. So when they're on the nest, when they're young, like all that. So whether it's the adult on the nest or the eggs or the chicks when they hatch, he said 91%. So we're 9% of that. And our 9% is still diluted because you'll have other mortalities during the season, right? That has nothing to do with hunting. So, like, that to me is madness.
Yeah, I worked on some studies here in Alberta, and I really appreciate what Delta's doing. The new technologies are taking the guesswork out of it. The drones go over, they can GPS the nest, and next time they fly it, they can look right in that exact same pile of grass blades to know if they're there. But our biggest problem up here in the parkland region, not the prairie, not the boreal, but we're in the between, lots of aspen trees, is crows. So the common crow actually, in some cases, causes 90% of the predation in our area. They're smart. They'll sit on a fence post, and when a hen flies up to go get water or to feed, they go
They're in.
straight over to where she came out of, and they do a ground search. They go round and round and round till they find a bang. And ravens have gotten very smart at doing it too. For a matter of fact, Delta had they found some old granaries that were not in use, and ravens were stockpiling eggs in them for eating later, and they found hundreds of eggs. So, people, if you need a reason to hunt crows, I know that a lot of you don't because it's a lot of
I
fun.
don't. I don't. You know me. You're the same.
Yeah, if you want more ducks, we could start with shooting more crows.
Oh my God, folks, I told Brad because non-residents can't shoot coyotes up there, right? And I think you can only, and I don't even know, I don't think you can even if you buy, I think if you buy a deer license, if you buy a deer license, I think you can.
If I got a hunter host license, which I can only get once every 3 years, we could buy
Gotcha.
a coyote license.
But a regular guy going up, like I come up, I buy all my licenses, I still can't kill a coyote.
No,
That's the
you'd have to
crazy.
do it through an outfitter. If
That's
you.
a crazy that that's so I was like, hey Brad, we need to get like an exchange program. We need to get a hunter exchange program. And I said, all you got to do is ship a bunch of us rednecks up there, in May. I said, we'll do all kind of stuff. Raccoons, skunks, coyotes, like you just got to turn us loose. We'll help you with the numbers. You know what I mean? You want to get that 90% down? Like,
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Interesting phenomena in Alberta. Most people probably don't realize this, but for most of my life, there was no raccoons here. And it was probably 25 years ago, they started to show up on the South Saskatchewan River, right in the bottom part of Alberta. Milk River, South Saskatchewan.
Right, I know exactly where you
There's
mean.
a very good population of them there now, but we're now finding roadkill raccoons central Alberta, where I live, and they were never here before. And same in Saskatchewan.
They
So
just
it's
kind of.
another predator that's very efficient, that's growing in numbers, and just one more thing for our waterfowl to deal with.
Yeah, they just kind of migrated and came up that river line and then just started spreading wherever. There's no doubt about it. Like, listen, they're an invasive little critter. They're smart. They're crafty. You know what I mean? They can get by. I mean, it's a total, like, it's a scavenger with hands, right? Like, I mean, he can jump in a truck and if he reaches the pedals, he could drive, right? He's got thumbs.
No doubt.
I mean, you guys in Canada, you just got to do whatever you can do. Crows, skunks, and we talked about this, I talked about this with Brad too. Like, the trapping is down, right? Because the fur isn't really worth a lot, right?
Right.
So there goes that whole category that kept that in check, kind of, and that's kind of going away, right?
Yeah, even our coyotes and foxes are a good quality because we're where we are in the north, the cold temperatures we get. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is with Russia-Ukraine war and a lot of the stuff that's been cut off to Russia, almost all of our fur was sold there. So fur sales. are way down. China's still buying some, but there's no market for them. So nobody's chasing them, which means their populations go up and we're seeing impacts on everything. Deer, whitetail and mule deer are both taking a kicking from coyotes. Scientists say it's a learned behavior. You get a pair of smart adults that know how to hunt and kill deer, and they teach their pups, and then it goes on for generations, and they are efficient, especially if you have a bad snow year.
There's no doubt we've talked about that before in the deep snow and what it does. I mean, it's just killer on everything. So, I mean, honestly, we could talk duck numbers and try to get duck numbers all you want, and it's like, habitat, and we could talk that till we're blue in the face. But really, what it comes down to and what everything is centering on, and the majority is predators and what's going on. So we really got to push harder. You know what I mean?
And Delta has some great research on that. Like, they're not guessing what it is, they're proving what it is. And they're hiring trappers to go out and remove predators from landscapes. And it's making a huge difference in terms of nesting success, brood survival, adult survival, all the rest of it.
He Paul did go into that. He did say they were hiring trappers, like you said, and they were putting them in certain areas where there were hotbeds, and it is making a huge difference. I'm just saying, like regular guys, like regular hunters who hunt all fall, or whatever, like, here's something, within the legal boundaries, obviously, here's something for you to do, off season, or while season's going and you want to do something, like, here's some other hunting opportunities that are going to pay off. You know what I mean? Are you gonna, I don't know if there's any skunk recipes. You know what I mean? I don't know that. I don't know if I would go about that, but to keep the population in check for skunks and also keep the nests safe, it might be under the guidelines. Like I said, you got to read your regulations. If you can do that, I would be doing it for sure.
Yeah, we're lucky in Alberta. The Alberta Trappers Association puts on courses throughout the province throughout the year. And anybody, once you take the course, can buy a resident trapper's license. And then
That's
you can
awesome.
approach landowners or do your thing and set up a trap line. And I'll be honest, I love trapping. I'm not as good as most people, but it gives me more time in the outdoors. You get to see more of what's going on, what's happening, learn more intricacies between different species. Learn the habitats. Once you get into it, winter's not long enough.
Well, and then you're making a difference. Like you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're doing all those benefits and you're having fun and it's something to do. It's something to take the girls to do or whatever, or the family, and get a couple buddies and go instead of be stuck in the house or do whatever. And then it's like you're also paying it off, come spring, on all the nests and all the waterfowl and everything else that's going on, and the deer and everything. I mean, it's really, man, it's, I've been pushing that down here. You know me on the crows, like, when we open up on crows, like opening day of crows for me is like a big deal. And I don't think anybody in this state or even in the West even like has that on their calendar. They're like, I don't know when it opens. Like, I don't even know how many you could shoot. I don't know what I have every piece of information. I know what I can do, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and you even have crow decoys.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
got them. Get out the collar and it's on. So for sure. All right, let's shift gears and talk. Okay, so you got big bulls down. We're talking about trapping and duck numbers and trying to do some predator stuff. You said weather's wild, but the duck numbers are up.
Yeah.
So what have you been working on? 'Cause like I know like the Harvest Your Own Stuff is a cool website and a cool podcast and a cool everything for new hunters that have been doing it a while. Like it's like a one-stop shop for everybody to kind of go to that for information, help, whatever. So I don't know what you're working on there, but that's been a pretty awesome thing, I think.
Yeah, it's got regular content feeding into it, and Harvest Your Own is a program of the Alberta Conservation Association. So it's geared more towards an Alberta audience. But as you know, anyone that wants more information on anything from deer hunting, duck hunting, grouse hunting, and especially how to take care of them and get them prepared for the table, it is awesome. And you can locate it at it's a Canadian address, so it's harvestyourown.ca, not .com. But you can go there and check it out, search it out, and try some different recipes. If you like duck, There's everything from how to roast them, how to do the breasts, how to do pub style legs. I mean, everything's there to get you started and help you enjoy the harvest.
For sure. I mean, I'm pushing that because I don't think there's enough down here in the States with enough information for something like that. Like this is dedicated to that and pushing that. And like I said, there's hundreds of recipes and what to do and like there's gear tips and hunting tips and all kind of stuff. So I think it's just in general. I mean, anybody listening should go and check it out because, you know, what's the last thing I don't need any more useless information. I need some useful information. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like the last thing I need to do is go on Twitter, go on X and read some crap about politics or some bullshit. Like that's the last thing I need in my life. I'd rather go on and look and go, "Oh, that's how I'm doing duck lakes like this week, right?" Or
Right.
listen, the damn snow goose hams. You have me lost on those, and I don't know what to do, but I need to get that recipe, and the problem is I need to find a meat place here by me that will do that for me
Right.
because I want
And
to try that so bad.
I got a video on Harvest Your Own that goes through the process of making the hams. And it really isn't rocket science. The trick to it is you got to have the breast meat trimmed perfectly, all of the fat taken off, any shot holes and stuff like that cleaned up. And then the majority of it, like 80 percent of it is a very coarse grind. And when I say coarse grind, the plate is like 3/4 inch plate. So basically it's like plugs of duck, the size of your thumb. And then the rest of it, 10, 20% is a fine grind to fill in the holes.
Yeah, the
And
spackling, the
yep,
cement.
you add your brine by weight. It's
Yeah.
20% sweet. So you put that in, a wet brine. And the magic to it is we put it in a tumbler that they use commercially for making bacon and hams, where they put
Right.
it under pressure and they tumble it. And instead of having your meat sit in a cooler in a brine for 5 to 7 days to get cured, it takes an hour. And that brine is fully absorbed, and you let it sit overnight, put it in the sausage press, put it in the ham casings. We also use bologna casings or big salami casings. It all
For
works.
sure. That's what I'm
Put it.
saying. I gotta just find somebody who's got the tumbler, right?
Right.
That's the thing. So that's what I gotta find somebody who'd be like, yeah, I want to try that. So that's who I gotta get on board. We harvest enough birds, to do that. And, we end up making summer sausage or something else or grind or whatever. But yeah, I want to do the ham thing bad because I've had it. It's freaking lights out. And I don't even think people don't even understand that it is not a wild bird. Like you're like, this is snow goose, and you're like, yeah,
Right.
whatever. And it's like, no, it's freaking snow goose. When we had a couple of those 250 bird days, like this is the hams from the freaking snow goose
That's right.
shoots, and here you go. And it's like, if you serve that somewhere, nobody would guess that.
No, and we just had an event, the Waterfowl Warm-Up, that Alberta Conservation Association does to raise money
Right.
for our Board of Poacher program.
Oh yeah.
And we served the hams. There was over 100 people there, and people were like just shocked. They're like, "What? This
I
is
know.
goose?" Yeah.
I know. And there's cool things like that where people could pick some stuff up like that and do it. If you have your own stuff, like I've been so busy, but this year I said, you know what? I'm buying an attachment grinder to KitchenAid mixers we have so I could do some grind. I can do some stuff. So I'm going to do some totally different stuff this year. That's just me because I feel like, okay, I'm going to make some time this year. I bought that. I'm going to use it. I'm going to start doing it. So yeah, I'm on it. So, but yeah.
I'm going to give you a really big tip, and the listeners.
Go.
You're grinding waterfowl using steel shot.
Yep.
Tell you a
I
way
know
to
where
get
you're going.
100% pellet free. is I bought a 500-pound fishing magnet, and I wrapped plastic wrap, and I plunge it through the ground meat. And even when you think you have them all, you'll pull it up and go, "Huh, there was two more in there." Smaller ducks, if you're shooting bigger shot like twos or BBs, you can run it over the breast and touch them. It'll actually pick up the breast that has a pellet in it. Like, you can really clean them up so that nobody's breaking teeth or finding
Sure,
shot.
for sure.
It's a bit of a liability at times, but it's a good trick and it works. I've got a little wand. It's about a foot long, a
I
metal
bought one.
detector. Yep. So I run over the goose breasts that are thicker because you can find the pellets that way, but the magnet is magic.
I've seen the mag. I've seen the magnet. I know that. And what I've been doing, just like you said, is I picked up a magnet. I picked up the wand, right? And so I'll breast everything, and then I will, like, I don't do the legs on like the smoker or whatever. So I just debone the legs. Like, I just take the meat off. So because I know I'm going to cook it somehow, and if I do it in the crock pot, it's no big deal. So I put my leg meat in a different pile, just because I don't, I'm not great at doing legs. You're great at doing legs. I'm good at the slow cooker on the legs. So I take, so I lay them flat. And then, like you said, then I run the wand over them, and then I flip them and I run them over again. So I'm constantly doing the wand for sure. And like you said, it's not 100%, but man, I've found so many with that wand. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. But after the grind or starting to grind, and then you're running the magnet through like constantly, yeah, I get it. There's no doubt. And
We made a
before.
bunch of duck and goose cutlets.
Yeah.
And again, you're making them thinner, right? You run it through the cutlet machine, they come out thin. Again, that the magnet 100%, we got every single pellet. We have not had a pellet in a cutlet since we started using the magnet.
God. So there you go. Like, you know, it's doubling your safety to not go to the dentist. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're saving teeth. That's what we're doing. But no, it's an awesome tip for sure. There's no doubt about it. And the wand will change your life as well. You know what I mean? Yeah,
And it's
both.
incentive to stay with the more economical options. Like Federal has a bunch of different steel options that you can shoot. But if
Yeah.
you go with the tungsten or bismuth, of course, the magnet doesn't pick it up. And when you bite on that stuff, it's like glass. It crushes. It's funny when
Yeah.
you bite on
Yeah, no
bismuth,
thanks.
it fractures. It doesn't hurt your teeth like steel,
Right.
but it makes you feel like you just bit into a piece of glass.
Yeah. I'll stick with the steel and I'll stick to pulling out pellets. So I'll do what I can. So that's awesome. So we're talking to Brad Fenson. You guys have seen him on the Last Pass episodes. You've seen him on tons of stuff with me. We travel everywhere. We do a bunch of stuff together. Brad's an outdoor writer. He does a podcast for Harvest Your Own. What is there any, because you had a bunch of articles this year that I saw. You know, if you get magazines or you look at digital stuff, you've seen Brad's name, you've seen recipes. I mean, you're staying busy. There's no doubt about that. That isn't
Yeah,
slowing down.
I'm lucky. I've got some wonderful editors to work with. I've got a long history with Delta Waterfowl. I write articles for them, but I have the recipe column. I'm the waterfowl chef in Delta Waterfowl
I
magazine.
know. I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. And I'm like, every time I see something, I go, yeah, I've eaten
Yeah. Yeah, and my friends over at American Hunter, AmericanHunter.org, which is NRA. Published two recipes a month online with them.
Yeah,
So,
there's, that's what I'm saying. There's so much info, you know, after the hunt on what to do, you know, because it's like you don't just have to like, you know, like for me, the days of like wrapping them in bacon and cream cheese, like the whole popper thing is like, you know what? Listen, it's cool to do poppers every once in a while, but like poppers isn't like my main focus like throughout the year. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've done a million things. You know, we've done enchiladas and spaghetti sauce and calzone with all kind of ground, like ground whatever, elk, pronghorn, like ducks, geese, like we've done, you know, so much stuff like, and I've experimented on my own now doing some crazy stuff. So, you know, when I'm up there with you, it's like, what are we gonna have for dinner? I don't know. Let's think about something wild. So, you know, there's so much to do. And now the recipes and now the stuff, like it, it's there's some prep time and there's some stuff, but it's really not, you're not like spending all day like trying to get this piece of meat to taste decent, right? Like those days are over. You know what I mean? There's really good recipes that don't take a long time, and then it's just a little bit of prep, and it's like freaking, when the best thing that I can say about you is when you make something and we're somewhere and everybody goes, "What's this? Is this is elk or this? No, it's snow goose." And you're like, "What?" Or it's like you make something and they're like, "This isn't a wild bird." Like, no way. And it's like, that's like the theme. Like, I don't know. And it's mind blowing, but if you do a little prep and you follow some steps and you look at some recipes, like you could be way ahead of the game for sure.
There's always ways to, and I put it kindly because I say appreciate the bird. It's like a big honkers. People are like, "Oh, I posted picture of them on social media," and people were like, "You still shooting those?" They got derogatory names for them. Same
For
with snow
sure.
goose. But we were out with the girls and did some early season honkers, the big ones. So it was 10, 12 pounders, and take the breasts and the thigh meat, and we put it in quart jars and canned it with a bit of beef bouillon. Oh my God, it's like you take it out, pour a jar in a pot, you can make soup, you can make stroganoff, you can make stew, like in 5 minutes. It's an instant meal on a tailgate in the blind. And the girls ask for it. "Can we have noodles and canned goose tonight?" It's quick,
Well,
easy,
that's what
and
I'm saying.
great.
It took you just as long to can it, right? To breast it, clean it, put it in the jar, put stuff in with it, right? Than it did to clean it, freeze it, throw it in the freezer and forget about it. Like it took the same amount of time. Like, you know what I mean? And everybody wants to know, listen, the push a couple of years ago was like, where does your meat come from? We're getting back to our roots, like we're pushing that, narrative, whether it's, families who just are starting to hunt or people who don't hunt and they want meat and they want something different and they want something organic, which all wild animals are. And then now it's like, look at prices for anything. Holy shit.
I mean, beef is at an all-time high.
It's unbelievable. And it's not getting any better. So, and I'm not telling you don't eat beef or don't eat chicken or don't eat pork or don't eat whatever, but there are other alternatives for sure to, make some meals throughout the week. Like, don't even get me started on like we're having grouse soup. Like, I'm all in on grouse soups. Like, you don't even know. So I would urge everybody to go to the harvestyourown.ca website and look at the recipes, or just Google Brad's name and look and just be like, holy crap, I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try this. So before the freezer gets like crazy full, like, head over there and do something fresh, or pickle, like you said, jar some stuff up for, like what, like try it, like go for it. So there's so much to do. And I know time is a factor and whatever else, but if you get everybody, if you get the kids involved, if you got kids, or it's just you or whatever, like get your friends involved so everybody jumps in and doing it, you know what I mean? So
The benefit is you'll find ways that your family enjoys it. That's the one complaint I hear is, "I love to bird hunt, but my family won't eat it." Well, you get your people at home to appreciate it and start asking you for it, and you've got a reason to go hunt.
That's right. Find, like you said, like, okay, the girls like beef stroganoff, right? Well, now we're going to do goose stroganoff and we're going to make it taste as good or better than what we were making with beef, right? And now they're all in. So it's like, find the dishes maybe that, your family likes and go, I bet you, let me look up a recipe for goose or ducks or whatever else, to make it. Because for sure, listen, chili is always a big deal, right? Chili is like, there's 500 different ways to make chili, right? And what can you put in chili? Like, I love making ground goose chili because I have so much other stuff in there that you can't tell what's going on. You can't tell what it is. It's so damn good. Same with spaghetti sauce. Like, don't get
Can't
me
go
started
wrong.
on that. I'm ready on that for sure. I'm always ready on spaghetti sauce. That's a gimme. So
There's so much you can do with ground birds. People overlook that. You get a
agree.
grinder out, put your ducks and geese through there, and you can make so much. Anything you make with beef or pork,
For
basically.
sure. Listen, I've even gotten to the point, I got some from friend last year who had the grinder, and this was one of the reason that turned me on to the grinder. And like I said, now this year I got a little more time. And I was like, holy crap, I never thought of that. So during the season when he needs to up his dog's protein, he starts adding ground
Goose.
birds. Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, I never thought of that. Because I mean, you've seen the dog, like when we get later in the season, it looks like people are like, do you feed that dog? Like you're neglecting him. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, he hunts a lot of days during the week and he's been going for 60, 70, however many days. Like, yeah, he's like, I'm jamming as much food as I can down there. So, that was a huge thing that I was like, that sat me back and I was like, holy crap, I never thought of that. And it's like, I'm gonna totally do that. So I'm prepping that for sure for later in the year that I can stockpile some, grind it up, have it ready, cook it, and then put it in bags and just leave it in the fridge and serve him throughout the week. You know what I mean? And just subsidize his food.
Yeah, I know several dog lovers that do that, and they give them one or two supplements a week, and they've got all ground in 1 pound bags. One of the people I know that use it, they have two dogs, so they take out a 1 pounder. They give each dog
That's
half a
wonderful.
pound, and gives them incredible energy, keeps their muscles toned, and they swear that their coat is much nicer too.
Oh, always. That always comes up. That whole coat thing always comes up. That, like, just everything about them, I think, is a plus. So it is without a doubt a plus to do that. You know what I mean? I was always taught like eggs are another thing to put in their food because of the protein and everything that it does for the coats and stuff like that. So there's a lot to do on that side, but man, like I'm pumped to do some other stuff this year because it's like I got some more time. I'm gonna focus on some of that stuff and I'm gonna, the dog's gonna be like, he's like, don't shut that pipeline off once it
He's
starts.
like,
Like I'm afraid when I start it, like, and then I have to try to kind of like in the off season, I have to kind of dial him back in food. He's gonna be looking at me like what? Like I don't get anything now. He's gonna be mad. So, but I'm gonna do it this season for sure. So it's pretty cool. So, oh man. So yeah, lots going on. I think the cool thing about the Harvest Your Own, and I know it's .ca, but I think there's no better site that I found to send people to get recipes and to get details and info. I mean, it's pretty cool. And whether you're just starting or you're in it a while, and whether you like you said, whether you upland hunt or waterfowl hunt or big game hunt or do whatever, or I'm sure you guys have like, I'm sure you have fishing stuff up on there too, right?
It's primarily hunting, but
Is it?
they're dabbling into the fishing as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that's coming. And if you need fishing stuff, you just, like I said, Google Brad's name, find it, and then look up the recipes because, don't get me started on the fishing thing because we could have freaking walleye cheeks. I'm all about
Oh yeah.
that.
You have to fight the girls
So,
for those.
I know what I have to fight the girls for. I have to fight the girls for ducklets and walleye cheeks.
Right. Yeah, and their new thing is they love breakfast with the snow goose ham and egg sandwich.
Oh
Like
my God.
they ask for it. Where's the ham? How come we don't have any ham out?
We got to get more snows. We better get on it, right?
Yeah,
We better get on it.
exactly.
Awesome. All right. Anything you want to hit or anybody you want to send anybody to as far as websites other than Harvest Your Own and other stuff like that?
No, I think between Delta and AmericanHunter.org and Harvest Your Own, people will find a lot of different recipe options, especially, this is primarily waterfowl, and that's where people struggle, I think. I don't know
I
if
think
it's
so
fair
too.
to say that, but the
I think so.
majority of hunters struggle, and there's some great recipes there to make you look like a wonderful, accomplished chef and get your family to eat them, which is magic. I mean, I'm blessed. I've got My wife and kids, they love the birds and we can't have enough.
I think you're right. I think people struggle there because it's easy to have, it's easy to cook like an elk or a deer backstrap, and you don't have to do much to it. You know what I mean? It's a great piece of meat. You know what I mean? So it's just, the bird hunters, we just got to put a little effort in and get a little crazy and get a little wild on our chef stuff. That's all.
Right.
That's all you got to
Yep.
do. Yeah. And if you need help, that's why I said, go there and do it. Like, that's what it's all about. All right. If you need anything from us, all you got to do, you can hit us up on the website, fabrand.com. We also have a bunch of recipes up there from Brad. We put a bunch of stuff up that's up there. You can go to the YouTube channel and see some stuff there. You could see the Last Pass episodes there. So you could like and subscribe to all the social channels and go and do all that. That's a mouthful. How's that sound?
Yeah, and don't forget, lots of contests and information on products that will make you a better hunter and potentially give you some new opportunities.
There you go. There you go, folks. All right. Hey, thanks for Federal Ammunition and Weatherby, as well as Rogers Sporting Goods, Leupold and Dogtra, and as well as Sass Goose Company and Sass Tourism over there for helping us out and doing stuff. And of course, Brad, for always being there and helping us out and steering us in the right direction to make birds taste wonderful. All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is the FA podcast for today.
Thank you.